Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our TOEIC unit today. We're helping you prepare for the test of English for international communications, and we're about the midway point of April here. So, yes, indeed, you might be preparing for a future career in which you'll use English in international communications, and, you know, you might be somebody who's interested in opening a restaurant somewhere in the world. So, indeed, today we've got an interview with a restaurateur by the name of Serena Ma, okay, and she has opened a restaurant, and AMC is interviewing her in today's program. We should say that we just made this up for today's lesson, but, you know, a conversation like this could really exist in the real world.
Yeah, and there are actually several restaurants out there in the world named The Horse's Mouth, which is kind of funny because Serena's last name is Ma, so...
What a great idea.
So cute. I know. So cute. I didn't find one in New York City, but I found one in L.A., Singapore, and the great state of Michigan.
Ooh.
So let's get started. I'm going to pretend I'm Serena, Tom, unless you want to pretend you're Serena.
I could try, but I think people would not believe me.
How about I do the girl?
You be the girl. Okay, so let's get to it. Let's listen to the interview now with Serena Ma in today's program. We'll listen one time. How did you get into the restaurant industry?
When I was a high school student, I worked in my grandparents' restaurant in Tainan. I scrubbed pots, served customers, and did every other job you can think of. It made me appreciate the amount of effort that goes into running a restaurant.
Did you also pick up some of your grandparents' recipes?
Of course. They served traditional Taiwanese dishes, as well as food from various regions of China.
And you retain a lot of these recipes in your New York restaurant, The Horse's Mouth. What's the story behind the name?
Well, my surname translates as horse, and all the dishes I serve are things I like to eat. I try to take influences from lots of other cuisines, but my number one rule is that I have to love it.
There are an enormous number of restaurants in New York. How do you stay competitive?
From my point of view, the key factor is promoting the business. Word of mouth only gets you so far. I'm very active on social media, and I have two dedicated assistants who get the word out online.
What are your plans for the future?
My first priority is to concentrate on what we currently have here. We always have to add new dishes and keep things fresh, as well as ensure that our quality standards are met. Further down the line, I'd like to expand to the West Coast.
Okay, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. It's in the form of an interview. That's when somebody asks you questions and you answer them. Of course, you can have interviews for various situations. You can be in a job interview or being interviewed by a reporter, which looks like the case here. AMC, that's us here. That's our magazine. We are interviewing Serena Ma. So it's an interview with restaurateur Serena Ma. And here, restaurateur is just a person who runs a restaurant.
Right. The restaurateur is the one who typically owns the restaurant. That's the person who hires the chef. The chef will hire the other line cooks. Those are people who help the chef. There's someone called a sous chef, and they're kind of like the deputy head chef, the sous chef. Sous is under in French, so that person is right under the head chef, or the executive chef. We also say that. I love cooking shows. I was just saying to Tom, I watched an episode of Top Shelf or Top Chef even this morning. I love Top Chef. Anyway, they had someone judging the competition on the episode I just watched, who was a restaurateur. So she doesn't actually cook, although some people have some, you know, some cooking background. But they typically are people that have the money to invest in building a restaurant or, you know, renting a space. It's very expensive to set up a new restaurant, especially in a place like New York City where, oh, everything's so expensive.
I'm surprised any restaurant actually survives there in New York with the sky-high rents.
Yeah.
And, of course, they have to reflect those rents in the, you know, the rates they charge.
The prices
they charge for their meals and stuff. So I suppose going to a restaurant in New York can basically drain out your entire banking account.
But I have to say that's probably the favorite after-work activity is to go out to eat. My friends were always wanting to go out to eat, but I found it quite expensive, Tom. So I didn't go so much, but they go almost every night.
Well, if you got money to burn,
then
you might as well do that.
Expensive.
And if you're, you know, working full time and stuff, you don't have time to cook for yourself. And that's where Serena comes in here.
Mm-hmm.
If you are somebody working hard and you need a place to go eat after work every night, well, Serena Ma is the person you might want to see because she runs a restaurant in New York City called The Horse's Mouth, which again is fictitious. We made it up for the sake of this program. But in any case, it's an interview here, so AMC has the first question. How did you get into the restaurant industry? How did you start working in a restaurant? How did you manage to start a restaurant? Or how did you get interested in opening up a restaurant?
That's a great first question to get the interview rolling or get it started. And so she tells them a little bit about her background. That when she was in high school, she worked at her grandparents' restaurant in Tainan. If your family owns a restaurant, you're typically going to grow up in that environment. My dad's an attorney, and I would work at his office almost every Saturday, helping file and clean and things like that. So depending on what your family does for a living, you're probably going to be helping out and working with them as well, when you're finished with your homework, of course. So we're talking about Tainan. Tainan is really famous for having a particular type of cuisine. I found it kind of sweet down there, but it was quite tasty. What did she do as a high school student? Well, she wasn't the head chef. She scrubbed pots. So those pots probably are pretty hard to clean. So we use that verb scrub to really rub hard and to use a special sponge maybe that helps clean out maybe parts that have burned in a pot or a pan or a wok. She also served customers. She worked as a waitress when it was needed. And she did every other job you can think of. So you could also say she was jack of all trades, which just means she helped out with everything. That's what you do when you're part of a family. And it says here, it made her appreciate the amount of effort that goes into running a restaurant. Yeah, if you've grown up with that, you don't have any illusions about how difficult it is to run a restaurant. It's very hard work. I wanted to mention a common error I hear very frequently in Taiwan, and people will say, yeah, I gave a lot of efforts. No, guys, no. No, I know you want to think, oh, but I did a lot of different kinds of things. Why can't I say efforts? No, just say a great deal of effort went into this, but don't put an S on it, please.
It's kind of tricky with the count and non-count nouns. So you feel better. I've been trying to study Spanish, and then a lot of their words mix up those concepts. You know, sometimes words in English are non-count, but in Spanish they are countable. So it gets kind of tricky there if you're studying other languages.
Yeah.
But in any case, yes, effort is non-count here, so you have to make a lot of effort. So there is a lot of effort going into running a restaurant, as she found out working for her grandparents down there in good old Tainan.
Yay!
Here's the next question from AMC. Did you also pick up some of your grandparents' recipes?
Mm.
Now, the recipes were not written on pieces of paper and dropped on the floor for her to pick up.
No.
Here, the verb phrase pick up does not mean that you actually grab something that's on the floor and bring it up to your level. In this particular case, it just means, did you learn some of these recipes? Did you pick them up? Usually, not by having them teach them to you directly. You just kind of learn it by being around it. That's how people ask me, like, hey, where did you learn your Chinese? Did you study at the Stanford Center? No, I just kind of picked it up. I just kind of learned it by talking to people and hearing people use these phrases, so I kind of just picked it up as I went along.
And of course, recipes are just typically a list of different ingredients and how to prepare a specific dish. And it doesn't mean it has to be written down. Although my mom left us recipe cards, which I'm really happy about. So we do have some recipes that are written down. But a lot of these dishes are just, you know, add a little this, add a little that, add a little this. It's not exact or precise. But you can learn a lot if you're working alongside grandma and grandpa and mom and dad if they cook as well. She said, of course I picked up some of my grandparents' recipes. Her grandparents served traditional Taiwanese dishes as well as food from various regions of China. Some restaurants will just keep their focus on one particular cuisine. I know that one of my favorite restaurants is the Kiki restaurant here that serves the Sichuan cuisine, which is spicy. And if I want maybe to have more Taiwanese, I would go to a different place. Or, you know, they offer quite a variety, it sounds like, at the restaurant where she grew up helping out in. And she probably is doing the same thing. She's not limiting it to just Taiwanese dishes, but has dishes from other regions in China.
So it sounds like she runs a Chinese restaurant in New York there, based on Taiwanese fare, Taiwanese cuisine, but also cooking, you know, as you said, Sichuan, maybe Guangdong or Shanghai and stuff like that.
Sure.
And the next question from AMC is, and you retain a lot of these recipes in your New York restaurant, The Horse's Mouth. So there we have it. That's the name of her restaurant, The Horse's Mouth. And so that's an interesting name. Usually in English, the phrase the horse's mouth means the information is coming straight from the source. You're not hearing it through a second person or something. You got it straight from the horse's mouth. I'm the person who knows this and I'm telling you.
And we typically do say it just like Tom said. We'll say, I got it straight from the horse's mouth. But we don't capitalize horse or mouth or the.
No, yeah, that's because this is the name of a restaurant called The Horse's Mouth, which is an interesting name. So, of course, we at AMC have this question. Yeah, what's the story behind the name? How did you come to use that as the name of the restaurant?
Yeah, pretend you don't understand any Chinese. Of course, we all know where the name comes from. We can guess because her last name is Ma. She says, my surname translates as horse. So surname is just another way to say last name or family name, translates as horse. And all the dishes I serve are things I like to eat. So she's giving customers who come to her restaurant the things that she adores, that she loves herself, which makes sense. If you don't like it yourself, why would you provide it? That's kind of crazy. So she says, I try to take influences from lots of other cuisines. Just like her grandparents took influences from different regions in China, she's doing something that's similar as well. So if you have a cuisine, it's a type of food and dishes that are particularly served in a particular country or maybe a region. In America, we have different regions with different cuisines, like the Southern cuisine is very different from the Northeast cuisine or the LA cuisine. You know, it's the Southern cuisine is very fattening and very tasty, but they use a lot of fattening butter and deep fried things. Well, she takes influences or she borrows influences from other cuisines to use in her dishes, but she's got a rule in her restaurant, and that is that I have to love it or I don't make it, I don't serve it.
Yes, so I guess she tries it herself, and if she thinks it's really good, then she's going to serve it to her customers there. And here's our next question for Serena Ma. There are an enormous number of restaurants in New York. How do you stay competitive? Competitive, that just means being able to work against other companies and still make a living and not have them make you go out of business. That's the essence of capitalism. That would be competition. Lots of people offering services so that they compete against each other. And so the customers can receive lower prices as a result. That's competition, and to be competitive means that you are able to survive in the market.
Right. That's really important. She says, from my point of view or from her perspective, the key factor is promoting the business. So what she's talking about is advertising. Of course, word of mouth is when maybe you have a friend who went somewhere and they really liked the food, so they say, oh, I really recommend this place. I just had a friend who recommended a place that had great xiaolongbao, and it was delicious. And I was so glad he told me he loved it. I've now been twice. So that's word of mouth. I didn't hear it on TV, didn't hear an ad on TV. I didn't read about it on social media. It was actually a friend who told me. So it's person to person, so person telling another person. And she says, word of mouth only gets you so far. It's not everything, but it kind of gets you started. I think it is valuable, though. She says, I'm very active on social media. I would bet she has an Instagram account and posts pictures of some of their dishes. That's very popular for restaurateurs or chefs to do these days, is post pictures of their new dishes.
Yep, on Instagram or Facebook, or you got to have a Twitter account as well. Mm. And she also says, I have two dedicated assistants who get the word out online. So, yes, that's so important these days to have a presence on social media. She's actually hired some people or have them do this job. They are dedicated to this job. That's what they do. To be dedicated to something means you are devoted to that thing. That's what you do. That's your main job. Mm-hmm. And you can't really be distracted by other things. So, yes, they post things on Instagram or those websites that do restaurant reviews and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they make sure that other people know about it. You got to get the word out. You got to spread the word so that everybody knows about the place. Here's AMC's next question. What are your plans for the future?
Well, Serena says, my first priority is to concentrate on what we currently have here. We always have to add new dishes and keep things fresh, and they have to ensure that their quality standards are always met. And then further down the line, she'd like to expand. So let's take this word priority. Usually when you have a list of things you want to accomplish, some things are more important than other things. The most important thing would be your first priority. So you want to tackle that first, take it on, make sure you get it done right, and then move on to the other things on your list. So they're always trying to make what they currently have on the menu taste fabulous because you don't ever want to diminish your quality. But she wants to add new dishes because people like to try new things. Not me, necessarily. I like my old favorites. I don't need new dishes at all. But a lot of people, especially those foodies who like to try out new restaurants, they love new dishes. She wants to keep things fresh and also ensure or make sure that their quality standards are always being met. Restaurants are checked out by not only the government, but also by critics, restaurant critics all the time. They won't announce that they're critics, but they'll come and they'll write up reviews sometimes long after the restaurant has opened just to make sure the restaurant is still producing quality food. You always need to make sure quality is really high.
Yeah, I was also going to say that when she says she wants to keep things fresh, that could mean, yes, indeed, she wants to make sure the food is not spoiled and rotten and stuff like that. But fresh here also means kind of new and interesting.
Cool.
So, indeed, she wants to have new dishes, and she wants to keep things fresh and interesting. And she does that to ensure that the quality standards are always met so the food inspector doesn't come in and try to shut them down. And she goes on to say, further down the line, or further into the future, basically, I'd like to expand to the West Coast. So here we've got the phrase to expand. That means to open your business more, open more branch restaurants or whatever. And she actually wants to have a branch restaurant on the West Coast, which I believe is referring to California mostly. Could be Seattle or Portland, but probably it means mostly L.A. or San Francisco, places like that. Okay, that brings us to the end of the interview. In just a couple of seconds, we're going to talk about some extra dialogues and a discussion question. But first, we need to hear from the Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天要参访一家餐厅。首先呢，在这里提到呢，他在餐厅里面做了很多的事情，刷洗锅子 ,scrub pots, 服务客人 ,serve customers。做了这么多事呢，我们来看一下 Serena, 他在最后一句提到 ,it made me appreciate the amount of effort that goes into running a restaurant。 做了这一切呢，才让我能够意识到经营一家餐厅是需要多少的努力。在这里的 appreciate 呢，通常我们会解释成为欣赏跟赏识，不过在这一句里面是有一种体会、领会的意思。举个例子来说，I'm afraid you haven't appreciated the urgency of the matter. 指的是呢，我怕你可能还没有意识到这件事情的急迫性。OK, 在体会了经营餐厅是需要很多的努力，这个记者就问他啦， Did you also pick up some of your grandparents' recipes? 那么你有没有学到一些祖父母的一些食谱呢？Recipe 在这里是有烹饪法或者是食谱的意思。如果呢，你到朋友家，他做了 cookies 给你吃，你觉得很想要学起来，你就可以说 I'd like to have your recipe for cookies. 希望你呢，可以给我制作饼干的这个食谱。接着记者又问他说，And you retain a lot of these recipes in your New York restaurant, The Horse's Mouth. 在这里提到呢，在你位于纽约餐厅叫做马嘴的这个餐厅里面，保留了许多呢，这个祖父母传承给你的食谱。Retain 就是有保留、保持的意思。保留一些记忆也可以用 retain 这个动词。举例来说 ,she retains a clear memory of her school days, 指的就是她对自己学生时代呢还保留着清晰的记忆。接着 Serena 继续谈到为什么餐厅要叫做呢马嘴，那么是因为她姓马，然后呢她提供的都是她喜欢吃的菜肴。然后后面提到 I try to take influences from lots of other cuisines, but my number one rule is that I have to love it.那么他试着呢采用一些其他国料理带给他的一些影响，不过第一个原则 My number one rule 就是呢我必须要喜爱那道料理。记者又问他说 How do you stay competitive? 那么你是怎么样保有竞争力的呢？ Competitive 形容词解释成为呢竞争的、有竞争性的。举例来说，在社会上面存在着很多竞争本质，我们就可以说 the competitive nature of the society。我们常常提到学生要有竞争力，国家要有竞争力，就是 competitive 再加上 ness， 就是 competitiveness 竞争力的意思。那你要怎么样能够在这样的竞争当中是保有竞争力的呢？当然除了透过呢 word of mouth only gets you so far， Serena 认为呢口碑能做得很有限，所以她后面继续提到 I'm very active on social media and I have two dedicated assistants who get the word out online， 所以她有两位非常得力的助手可以帮助她在网络上打知名度。在这里的 active on social media 就是代表的他在社群媒体上面非常的活跃，要常常的贴文。然后这两个助手用了一个形容词 dedicated， 也就是有尽心尽力的意思。那么记者又问他 What are your plans for the future？ 未来有什么计划呢？ Serena 回答My first priority is to concentrate on what we currently have here. 那么他的优先考量，第一优先就是专注呢，现在这里所现有的一切。Priority 指的就是优先或者是重点的意思。我们常说，工厂里面呢，最重要的优先就是安全。你就可以说 ,safety has high priority in factories. 那么 Serena 最后的一句说到 ,Further down the line, I'd like to expand to the West Coast. 那么呢，如果再更远一点的话，在更远的未来，我希望能够拓展到美国西岸去。Expand当作动词，就是有扩大、扩充、发展的意思。 He is thinking of expanding his business. 就是指着他正在考虑要拓展他的生意。OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解。谢谢收听。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Here are some extra dialogues. I'll be A here.
Okay.
What's the hardest part of the restaurant business?
Definitely the competition. It's really difficult to stand out from the crowd. If you stand out from the crowd, you have something unique that catches people's eye, gets their attention, and that is a difficult part of the restaurant business. Especially when you have so many choices, it's really a tough business to even break into.
Okay, here's the next question. Which dish from your menu would you recommend?
All of them. Right now, my favorite is our drunken chicken dish. I have to say, this is my opinion, I was once served drunken chicken, and I don't drink, and I didn't know they actually put in alcohol. And when I walked home that night, I was a little bit drunk. It's not my favorite dish, but I know it's popular here in Taiwan. Do you like that drunken chicken?
Well, you know, I didn't really get enough to eat because this chicken hopped up on the table.
Oh, stop.
And it was wobbling all over the place. Obviously, they gave that chicken some vodka,
and
it was a drunken chicken. So I didn't like the joke. I didn't think it was funny because I was hungry at the time. But in any case, here's the next question. Have you ever had a bad review?
I had a few early on. They weren't terrible.They were just all right. We were still working things out, and a lot of improvements were still needed at the time. That's disappointing for a restaurant. Mm. To get, a mama hoo-hoo review, a review that's not that hot. You want people to really be excited to come visit because you're asking them to spend some money. It's not cheap to go to a restaurant, especially if you're in the States, and you have to pay a big tip, too.
Yeah, the tip there is really annoying, I think. But yeah, you do have to show people a good time. Give them a nice environment, good service, and above all, good food. Now, here's our discussion question for today. What Taiwanese dish would you recommend to someone visiting Taiwan for the first time and why?
I don't know. What would you?
Well, the obvious choice is chō tofu, which is more of an experience. Some people would like it. Some people would not. I personally hate chō tofu. They always say, oh, you know, the smell is bad, but it tastes really good. But to me, it tastes just as bad as it smells. But that's more of like a snack in the night market, not so much a dish. Do you got any dishes that you'd recommend?
Well, yeah, I definitely wouldn't have them eat chō tofu. I don't like it myself. But I would take them to my favorite beef noodle soup place, and also I found a new place that I love. They're Shalom Bao. I love.
Yeah, those steamed
buns. Man, if those are good, they're great. And I'm not talking about the famous chain. I'm talking about a new restaurant that makes them even better, and they're cheaper. So, that's my first choice. I would only take them to places that I enjoyed, though. I don't like chō tofu, so no.
Yeah,
we wouldn't
I wouldn't
be going
it,
there.
So I take that back. I'll think of something else to recommend for visitors to Taiwan. But, we don't have much time to talk about anything else. All the time we have for now is to say goodbye, so let's do that. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program when we actually talk about the horse's mouth in a review. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.